sweet humble prayer. It's already went before us. Appreciate Brother Jeb Owen and his family singing for us. You know, most of the time, in my church, our church, we've got so many here with us that's not from our church. You know, usually I'm up standing up singing with Brother Joe. But here, in this moment, it truly is, unlike any other moment I've witnessed in my life. But it's caused me to be still. As I was sitting, I was still singing. But it just struck me. It struck me how many people are gathered over this medium tonight. You know, my daddy once told me, when it came to the Primitive Baptists, there's not enough of us to be fighting amongst ourselves. You know, sometimes it takes sitting still to appreciate what we have. You know, the devil wants to divide us. He wants to divide us. But as I sat here singing the songs of Zion, I could feel your spirit. And all those gathered and listening together. And I could just imagine in each household, each family singing together. You know, in our isolation and our separation, we became unified. We became unified in the spirit. And I was thinking about that. Ephesians chapter 4 came to me. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. You know, we're all stuck in our houses together now. But I trust if you're going to be a prisoner of the Lord tonight, that's not a bad prison to be in. Therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I trust tonight that's what we're trying to do. We're all unified in the Spirit. Endeavoring to worship God together. Though we be separated, we trust we're unified in the Spirit. You know, as I said before, it's like sometimes you got to be still and listen to find a blessing. My son Caleb, the other day, we were sitting on the front porch of my father-in-law's house. As we sat there, he came up, he was looking for his Uncle Trevor. And they had been riding golf carts and four-wheelers and around, and he couldn't find me. And I'd been sitting on the front porch on the rocking chair, just watching. And Caleb said, have you seen Trevor? And I said, no, I hadn't seen Trevor. And he started to take off and run. I said, hold on, son. Sit down in this chair beside me. You just sit for a minute. You'll find what you're looking for. And I trust while we sit down together tonight that the Lord will bless us. Those things we're endeavoring to do in unity, I pray we'll find. My thoughts tonight in this situation we're in. As I said, it's a new one to me. I trust it's a new one to a lot of us. As I sat and was still, and I just started to notice. You know, in every situation like this, we can learn. We've been spending a lot more time together, me and my father-in-law and my son. We planted a garden this week. And my brother-in-law's came around with a tractor. My father-in-law was already in the garden. And he told me, he told Trevor and Travis to come get the road maker. And I had just pulled up. I was coming to help, but they were already in the garden. And I saw Trevor trying to hook up that road maker to the back of the tractor. Now, I grew up splitting time between the city and the country. I'm just know enough about farm equipment to get myself hurt probably. And I have never hooked up a row maker. And as I put it on, I got it on the bottom lifts. But I couldn't figure out the way that was turned, how to get the top bar on. So I said, well, Mr. John knows how to put it on. I said, we got the lift bar. I'll lift it up, Trevor, and go over there. And as I was sitting there, I was, my grandpa-in-law was there, and he needed some help, so I was trying to help him. But before I could get back over to the garden where they were, I heard my father-in-law fussing my two brother-in-laws about how did they put that row maker upside down. And when I heard him yelling, I was like, oh, Lord. I said, I knew they were in trouble, and it was my fault. So I ran over there, and I said, Mr. John, I said, they didn't do that. That was me. And Mr. John gave me a look I don't believe I've ever seen him give me before. I don't know if any of y'all's father-in-laws have ever looked at you like that, but you can imagine what it was. And he said, Joe, I'd have never thought you'd have done that. And he was pretty, he was as mad as I've seen him. He was trying to get his garden planted. And when we got back over that afternoon and we're sitting together, I told Mr. John, I said, I'll tell you one thing, Mr. John, today. I was like, I might have messed up, but I tell you what, I'll never make that mistake again. I'll never put that row maker upside down again. And as I was talking to my son about that, I said, see, son, in every situation, whether a mistake we can learn something from. And in this crisis, if you want to call it that, I don't believe that we're in any crisis. Lord Jesus Christ is still on his throne. Just as he's been with the people before him, he'll be with us still. He doesn't change. But we can still learn something from it. As I sat noticing all these things, I said, you know what? What have I learned from this? What have I learned from all of this? The first thing I can say, I've learned that people are crazy. People are crazy. You start listening to this old news and the things of this world, it'll make you fearful. It'll make you scared. When you're scared, you run. You're scared, you run, you're confused. And certainly, the sermons I've heard the last few days have been about telling our children and God's children to comfort themselves. Fear not. Where do we seek our comfort but in God's word? But as I started thinking about these things, how people are crazy, they start running around and hoarding and grabbing toilet papers. I can't understand that for the life of me. And as I was thinking about these things, this verse came to me. I said, what is this like? You know, when I start running around like that, it reminds me of sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd, or sheep that forgot who their shepherd was. And as I was thinking about these things, the book of Ezekiel spoke to me. In chapter 34 of Ezekiel, we'll find. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Now in that verse that you think they're talking about the shepherds out in the fields, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about shepherds. The people that were supposed to be God's guard and keeping. The children of Israel and directing them in the right ways. That's what he was talking to them about. That's the shepherds here. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Now, I don't know if that strikes a chord with you, and I'm not going to cast an aspersion, but I tell you what, that strikes a chord with me. We should be having leaders that should be staying comfort and calm. We should have leaders that seek God's counsel. We've got leaders that are spreading fear out there. Child of God, you don't listen to those. You don't listen to those that would spread fear. We serve the good shepherd. The good shepherd says, fear not, little flock, fear not. But we see, it says, with cruelty have ye ruled them. And what happens when this happens? In verse 5, and they were scattered. That's the flock, the sheep. Because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. When the shepherd's not doing his job, when our leaders aren't doing their job, that's what happens. The sheep are scattered. But that's all right, because we serve the good shepherd. What happens when those evil shepherds come? In verse 6, it says, My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. And none did search or seek after him. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. These bad shepherds, they about to receive some bad news. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. You know, a bad shepherd's just as good as having no shepherd. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Isn't that something? They fed themselves and forsake the flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. What does God do when there's a bad shepherd? When we have bad leaders? Where's your strength? Where's your faith at this morning? Now, I tell you what. I love this country. I love everything I'm blessed with. But you know, my strength and my faith is not in the President of the United States. It's not in Congress. It's not in all these things. It's not in this world. My strength and my faith comes from God and the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And this is what God said. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds and I require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, and they may not be meat for them any more. I want you to know we got a God that protects us and is able to provide for us. Doesn't matter what's going on in this life. Doesn't matter the disease or the cancer. I want you to know the victory was his. When we sing victory in Jesus, I want you to know I made it this morning. Because the victory was his. And we stand victorious in his righteousness this day and this night. What does our God say? As a shepherd, in verse 12, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. When there's a bad shepherd, I want you, our God, has power to go out and seek his sheep. He has power to bring them back into the fold. will bring them out from the people. Excuse me. In verse 12, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock, in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Times might seem cloudy, same times might seem dark, but I want you to know we serve the light. And our God is a God of light. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. Our Father who feed us in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. Yes, sir, he's going to lift us up. There shall they lie in a good fold and a fat pasture. Shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Israel. Verse 15, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you know there's those that would, are wolves in sheep's clothing that would lead us astray. They would say fear and fear, but I want you to know our God says take comfort. Our God says fear not. Our God is able to provide for us no matter what's going on. No matter what happens in this life, he has provided for us in the past. He'll provide for us in the future. He's protected us in the past. He'll protect us in the future. That's where my faith is this morning. That's where my strength comes from. You know, just like what Brother Caleb said, as my strength was then, it is now. That's where my strength is. My strength is God. I don't have any on my own. I don't have any righteousness on my own. He's given me all things. He's given me comfort. He's given me the rest assured, blessed assurance of his son Jesus Christ when he died on the cross of Calvary. Yes, he's fed me good food. He's fed me well. Oh, I'm fat. I'm fat on the gospel, I tell you that. Caleb just laughed when I said I was fat.
I didn't laugh. Oh, I did.
Nevertheless, we serve a God that is able to feed. So what do we learn from these things? What are we going to learn from this? Well, I'll tell you what I've learned from reading this, that we serve a God that's able to provide. He's able to feed his flock no matter what the circumstance. You know, we're separated. We're not able to be in the church tonight. But I trust he's still able to feed. You know, how do you tell a good shepherd? That's another thing I've learned. You know, it's good to know the difference between a bad shepherd and a good shepherd. We serve a good shepherd. The book says he is the good shepherd. But how do you tell the difference? What did he tell Peter? You know, Peter denied the Lord three times. But you know what the Lord did? The Lord gave him three opportunities to tell him how much he loved him. He said, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. He asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. You know all things. You know I love you. He asked him again. He asked him a third time. He said, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. What did he tell Peter to do? He told Peter to feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. That's how you tell a good shepherd. He feeds the sheep. He cares for them. He don't let them starve. He don't leave them in a barren place. He feeds them. One thing this pandemic has taught me is that we have been blessed, Union Church. We have been blessed with good shepherds that always fed the sheep. You know what? They all feed them differently. You know, Brother Oscar Easterlin wasn't like Brother James Melvin Myers. Brother James Melvin Myers wasn't just like Brother Cecil Easterlin. Brother Cecil Easterling wasn't just like Elder Randall B. Myers. Elder Randall B. Myers wasn't just like Wayne Myers. Wayne Myers wasn't just like Elder Mickey Myers. Elder Mickey Myers wasn't just like Elder Ricky Myers. And let me tell you something, Brother James ain't just like all those either. But they have all endeavored to do this. They have all endeavored to feed the sheep. Yes. It's a time to be thankful when we can sit back and still and rejoice and realize how much God has blessed us. I'm thankful for our shepherds. But you know what a good shepherd does too besides feed the sheep in a spiritual sense? The good shepherd points you. He points you to the shepherd. He points you to Jesus. Yeah, that's where our comfort is. That's where we feed. That's the food. What are they feeding us? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want nothing else. I don't want nothing else. That's food for me. That fills me up. That makes me fat. I tell you, the Lord's blessed us. He is the good shepherd. For a little while, I just want to tell you how good our shepherd is. If you'll permit me. You don't have a choice. I'm going to go ahead. You can turn it off if you want to. But I'm going to tell you how good my shepherd is tonight. You know, I don't think anybody was as good at praying or as good at saying how good God had been to him as David did, old King David. In Psalm 23, it says, Psalm of David. Most of you brethren could probably recite this by heart. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, that's who our shepherd is. The Lord is my shepherd. What? I shall not want. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. What is this world saying right now? The world's saying, go buy everything. Go hoard some stuff. Go get some toilet paper. Go get some water. Go get food. My Bible tells me to just take for what you need for today in Matthew. Sufficient is the day. Think not for tomorrow. That's what the Bible says. The Lord is your shepherd. I want you to know he's able to provide for you. You're not going to want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Yeah. Lie down. He's giving us a place of rest. That's what he calls us to do. He said, make us to lie down. There's rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and the shepherd. In green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Then, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I want you to know that old shepherd, when they had that rod and staff, it was an instrument of protection. He carried it with him to protect the sheep, to lead the sheep. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I want you to know whatever you're facing, whatever enemy we face, the Lord is able to provide for you. He's able to set a table in the presence of our enemies. Yes, sir, we sit down and eat right in front of them. I ain't scared of those old enemies. Don't fear, child of God. He's able to provide for us. Yes, sir, in the face of our enemies, he's able. He's able to set the table. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. You know that anointest my head with oil right there? You know, in the Old Testament, you'll see that the use of anointing oil, it was a way to consecrate and set those things apart that were for the Lord. You know, the first time that the word oil is used in the Bible, it talks about Jacob and how when Jacob had fled, stole Esau's birthright and fled, that he came to a spot called Bethel afterwards. It was called Bethel afterwards. And the Lord came to him there and visited with him there in a dream. And when he woke up, he had made a pillow out of stones. And as he woke up from his dream, he said he was fearful. He'd been in the presence of God. That's a fearful thing for a mortal man, to be in the presence of God. He said, surely the Lord has been in this place. And it says he erected a pillar out of the stones that he slept on, and he poured the oil on there. Now, if you go back and read where he was in between two towns. He was out where there were a bunch of rocks. Now, certainly in the Old Testament, anointing has a lot of symbolism, and it is to consecrate things. But you know what I always like about the Bible? Sometimes there's practical use to those things. He was out in the middle of a bunch of rocks. He picked up some rocks and made his pillow out of it, and then the pillar. He said he poured oil on it. He poured oil on it to set that rock apart. He wanted to remember where he had been in the presence of God. He wanted to remember that. You think about that. When you spill oil on your concrete, does it ever come out? Now, I tell you what. I got spots on my concrete that oil spilled probably 10 years ago. It's never come out. But Jacob wanted to mark that. He wanted to set that rock apart. I tell you what, that's what God does for you. When he anoints you in his spirit, I want you to know you've been set apart. You've been set apart from this old world. Those old things you have, they say you have the fear. I want you to know you've been set apart. You've been anointed by God. You've been anointed by his spirit. You're a child of God. You don't have to fear those things. Our Lord is on his throne, and he is able to do all things exceedingly well. Then verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yeah, when you got a good shepherd, that's how it feels, doesn't it? That's how it feels when you serve. When you got a good shepherd, that's how it feels. You feel safe. That nothing could ever come between you and him. You're never separated. Romans 8, verse 38 and 39 says, I'm persuaded that nothing will ever separate us from the love of Jesus. Not the coronavirus, not this life, not anything, nothing. That's what that means, nothing. You go back and read that in Romans. It pretty much covers it. I'm convinced that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. And that's how it feels when you serve a good shepherd. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, if we could stay on that mountaintop forever. Oh, I don't ever want to come down to you. I don't ever want to come down. Let's turn now to Psalms 18. And I told Brother James before he asked me to preach tonight, on Sunday, it was after he had preached, I told him I was ready just in case. I had my gun loaded. And the subject that I had on my mind was Psalm 18. And it's funny how that I'm convinced that this is a message that God wants put out there. Because when I talked to my brother after that, he said that Brother James Isaacs had preached on Psalm 18 on Sunday. So we're going to find out a little bit more about our God through old King David, through his words. In Psalm 18, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of the psalm of the day, that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. This is what he said after he had been delivered. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Well, I love him, but he's my strength. The Lord is my rock. Yes, sir, he's our rock. And my fortress. He's our rock. He's our foundation. He's our fortress. He's our defense. That's what a fortress does. It defends. And my deliverer. He delivers us from those things. He delivers us. He saves us in this life, and he's going to save us in the next. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Yeah, if you got strength like God, can't you trust in that? Can't you trust in a God with all power? My buckler, yes, sir, he binds us, he buckles, he fastens us, he holds us tight, and the horn of my salvation, yes, sir, and my high tower, Yes, sir. I will call upon the Lord. What else did we learn from this situation? I tell you what I've learned. I've learned to call on the Lord like old King David did. But we can all stand to do that. We all need to remember. We all need to call on the Lord. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Oh, he's worthy. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. If we're going to be saved from our enemies, I'm going to tell you it's going to take the Lord's salvation. And he's worthy to be praised. Verse 4 says, the sorrows of death compass me. Life's like that. Sometimes sorrow does compass us about. Sometimes seems like the night will never be over. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. You know, Brother James, I got to listen to his sermon, and he made this point about that. He said that made him feel good. That made him feel like he was in pretty good company. He thought about King David. King David was probably, seemed like he was not afraid of anything. Faced a lion. He faced Saul. But even here it says he was afraid. It's all right to be afraid, children. It's all right. That's happened. That's that old carnal nature. Sometimes we fear. But when you're afraid, I want you to remember where your strength is and the shepherd that watches over us. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me, about the snares of death prevented me. Yes, those things prevent us. They're obstacles for him. In my distress. Yeah. In our distress. What do we need to do? I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. Yes, sir. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Child of God, in your distress, call upon the Lord. Cry. It says he cried unto my God. Yeah, sometimes we gotta cry. Sometimes we gotta get a little emotion about it. It says, cry unto my God. And what does he do? Child of God, he hears your voice. He heard my voice out of his temple. Where's God at? Heaven. Yes, sir, our God, Lord Jesus Christ, sitting on the right hand, making intercession for you, me, and you this morning. I want you to know he hears the cries of those that he loves. He hears the cries of his sheep. He is the good shepherd. He hears them when they cry. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. He heard him. Verse 7. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. He wasn't mad at David. Who was he mad at? He was mad at David's enemies. That's who he was mad at. I tell you what, when the child of God, when his little sheep hurt, I want you to know it makes him angry. It makes him mad. It makes him wrong. Then what does he do? There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made the darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. And the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed. Hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He scattered his enemies. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Yeah, he confused them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. Now that, brother, you think he was mad? I tell you what, that paints a picture that when the enemies come before God, children, I want you to know when they do them wrong, he gets mad. Lord, when our enemies face us, I want you to know he's wrong. He's mad. He's angered when his children hurt. And he's able to deliver. Think about those things. These enemies that David had, that the Lord smote him and delivered him out of it. This scene is just, you know, Brother James described it like this. He said, you think about the lightning and the coal and the fires, and he flew on the wings of the winds. What a storm our God created to deliver the King David from his enemies. Now, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful we have a God that can do all things? You know, my daddy, he once told me, I didn't do a lot of fighting. I didn't fight. My dad didn't really teach me to fight. This is the only advice he ever gave me about fight. He said, son, don't fight fair. He said, if you get ganged up on, he said, you find the biggest thing you can grab and you start swinging, you get out of there. If you can run first, run. But he said, if you got to stand your ground, don't fight fair. He said, fight to win. I want you to know we got a God that fights to win. He can use the devices in this nature. If it takes a storm, if it takes lightning, if it takes part in the Red Sea, I want you to know our God is able to deliver that to his children, to save them, to provide for them. You know, he's even able to use the devices of our enemies against us, against them. If you will, turn with me. We're going to go real quick to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and I believe verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while and the wicked shall not be. Yeah. For a little while, the wicked shall not be. This is going to pass, brethren. It's going to pass. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just. Yeah, they do. There's evil out there, brethren. We have enemies, and they plotting against us. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh. The Lord shall laugh at him. You know what? When I think about something, you know, if you, I've seen some movies sometimes, and there'll be a big guy and a little guy, and he'll punch that big guy, and when that big guy turns around, he just laughs. And that's time for the little guy to run. You know, when I envision my God, it says he laughs. Enemies think they've got something over on God's children. I want you to know they don't. Our God laughs at our enemies. He laughs at them. Whatever we're facing, he's able to deliver, and he laughs. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bow shall be broken. Read that again. Their sword shall enter into their own heart. Yeah, I tell you, our God's able to use our enemies' weapons against them. You think about old King David when he killed Goliath. You know, he knocked him down with a stone, but how did he kill Goliath? He cut his head off with his own sword. With Goliath's own sword, he cut his head off. Our God's able to turn those things around on him, you see? Whatever it takes, our God's able. Whatever it takes, our God can do it. Serve the good shepherd. The good shepherd, he protects his sheep. Back to Psalm 18 now. He sent from, in verse 16, he sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. Now David wasn't talking about waters there, but God had drew him out of many troubles, many waters. If you in waters deep and you drowning, you in trouble. But he said, he sent him from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Isn't that wonderful to know that when your enemy's too strong for you, the Lord is able? They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. Stay. Child of God, stay. Sit still. Our God can deliver the victory. All these things are going to pass away, but our God will remain. And because his son died for us, we'll remain with him. We're preserved in the precious blood of Christ. Heaven's going to be home one day because he's defeated our last enemy. Why do we fear? Why do we worry? Do you understand who your shepherd is that's looking out for you? I hope today that I've explained a little bit how good our shepherd is. You know, in Psalm 18, David goes on to talk about how good God has been to him, what he's delivered him from. In verse 28, you know, just expound on that. And I like this. Brother James Isaac in his sermon the other day said, you know, I like that. And I thought that was funny because I like it too. In verse 28, it says, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." You know, when he said that, you know, we got an old saying that says, if something was good, he said, that really buttered my biscuits. And the Lord lights your candle. Yeah, he lights a candle. Yeah, that'll work. Say, lights my candle. Yes, sir. He's a light. He enlightened my darkness. Yeah. When we're in darkness, who's going to enlighten us? Yeah, our God. Our good shepherd. He's our light. He's the one that's going to light our candle. Verse 29 says, "Before thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." Yeah, we're able to do all things through God. That's right. He goes on, David goes on to talk about what God has delivered, what God's been able, through God, the strength that he's given him, what he's been able to do with God at his side. But he concludes with this, and it's a good point. In verse 49, after all these things, this is his conclusion. He says, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." So I want to... We serve a good shepherd. Yes, sir. And this is our duty. It says, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee." He's done so much for us. He's worthy to be praised. We need to give thanks to him. It says, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen." Yes, sir. In the face of this old world, we need to be singing praises. Just what we're doing tonight. With all that's going on outside, we gather together, whatever medium we could do within, in the spirit, inside the spirit. We gather together and we says, "Oh Lord," we sing praises to him in the face of all our enemies. Because he's able to deliver us. 50 says, "Great deliverance giveth he to his king and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore." Do you know that applies to you? Don't you understand who the seed of David is? Brother James in his sermon said he could go on and on about that seed when he was talking about the vine and being in the vine and leaning on Jesus. But that seed applies to you. Because who was the seed of David? The Lord Jesus Christ was after the seed of the lineage of David. And you're his seed. Forevermore. Yes, sir. We've been greatly delivered in this life and the next through his seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if y'all permit me, and I should finish there. And I lost track of time, and I hope you'll forgive me. But I do want to make one more point that I've learned in my stillness this week. If you will, turn with me to Luke. Chapter 7. Verse 36. And bear with me for a moment. Says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had hidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this was. It what is that touched him, for she is a sinner." Well, he thought he was something, didn't he? And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." Let me tell you something, Simon. And he said, Master, stay on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said to him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she had washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. I want you to think about this woman for a minute. This woman was well aware of who she was. Well aware. She knew she was a sinner. She knew all the things she had done. But when she came to the presence. She came and bowed to Jesus, kissed his feet, anointed. She made preparation to go do that because she heard where Jesus was. And she wanted to go there. She wanted to go there. She wanted to be in the presence of Jesus because she knew that if her sins were ever going to be forgiven, it would be by him. That was the only way. The only way. The only way our sins are forgiven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14, and I believe verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. In the same sense, you think about this in John 6 and 44. It says, no man can come to me except the Father, which in heaven draw. So you can't go into the Father without Jesus. You can't go into Jesus without the Father. That's the only way. And this woman knew that. She knew this is the only way her sins were forgiven. She prepared and went, found out where he was and went there. She didn't take for granted the time she had with Jesus. You go back and read about alabaster and oil. This was expensive. She gave her his, she gave him her best. Are we giving the Lord Jesus Christ our best when we serve him? I challenge you to think on that this week. Are we? You know what? Sometimes we don't realize how much we've taken something for granted until it's gone. Have we taken for granted the house of the Lord? I tell you what, I miss being there with you. I miss being there with you. I miss being in the house of the Lord because that's where Jesus is. That's where we find him. That's where his presence is. I know he dwells in all of us, but I want you to know there is something special about assembling ourselves in the house of the Lord. Now, we're taking precaution, and we have faith that God is going to see us through this. But in this time away, in this time of stillness, let's consider these things. When we go to the house of the Lord, are we bringing our box of alabaster, or are we bringing our best? No. Not because we're going to work our way to heaven. No, sir. We'd never say that. No, I'm not worried about working. I'm not worried about battling the fight my Lord has already won. But I am worried about praising the Good Shepherd because he is worthy to be praised. And I know all of you that are gathered watching this tonight, you probably have not forsook the assembly of yourselves to the Lord's house. And I know a lot of you, y'all bring your best. You bring your best every Sunday. But as I tell my son, my daughters, we can always do better. We can always try to do better. We're not perfect, but we can try to do better. If y'all permit me a minute, I don't know who's watching this. I don't know, but I'm going to do some hard, hard fishing right now. Lord told him, Lord, Simon Peter, that come with me, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So I'm going to try to do some hard fishing right now. Now, I know most of you gathered here, y'all go to church and y'all been to church, but I tell you what, there's a lot of folks I love that have left the church, that have forsaken assembling themselves together. And if they see this, I want you, brother, I'm not coming down on you. I'm one of you. I've been there. I've let the cares of this life keep me away. I have. But I'm trying to do better. If Old Union Church or whatever church is represented, and you know, and it's not, this is not a special case to Union Church, I want you to know, you're not going to find the comfort and peace out there in the world. Come back to church. Come back to where your peace and comfort is. Do like the prodigal son. You know, you've been out there in the pigsty. Remember what you had in your father's house. I'd love to see you back. You know who you are. I want you to know if you were a member of Union Church and you haven't been in a while, we love you. You don't know how much we love you. I miss you. Miss you so much. Brother, the Lord's going to do what he's going to do, but I want you to know I need you. We need you in the church. You know, Union Church is a special place to me. It's where I first experienced the love of Jesus. It's where he indwelled his spirit with me. It's where I was baptized. All the precious memories there. Brethren, we love you. We want you to come home. Brother James, I thank y'all for your good order of attention. I hope I haven't taken too much time, and I hope it is my sincere